Thank you, Mike, for those kind words. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. I always enjoy my coming up here and visiting with our brothers and sisters, and especially the last few reunions. It was, like 2004 or 5 or 7. There was just a couple of them that I was here, and we kind of had a space of time when I wasn't here, and I'm glad we're able to come and be here and meet with you today and this throughout this reunion. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Yucatan, and the Lord impressed upon me some scripture verses, and He also helped me to. It's always a challenge, like what Brother Mike spoke of. Is that, to me, it's always a challenge to find creative ways to try and present the gospel in such that the Lord would be able to help each one have a picture in their mind of what I'm trying to say. And so when I was in Yucatan, and I mean when we're visiting the homes of these people, they're very poor and they're not very studied. They don't have a very good education. And so the challenge is helping them along with their understanding of the gospel and those promises that are meant for them. Because as we understand and we know that through prophecy and those beautiful miracles that took place down there, that the Mayan people are those of the remnant of Manasseh, that were the ancestors of those who penned the Book of Mormon. I came up with a little thing like this, you know. And so I could show them. It was a little diagram. And I started up here with the scripture verse, and I kind of followed it through and kind of helped them to see picturally as to what I was trying to speak to them. And I want you to be able to kind of do the same thing with this presentation that I have. It is part of this, what I started. It isn't the complete study of this, but attempts will be is to bring the Bible and Book of Mormon together and that work that's going to happen in the last days, and it's using some of the verses of Scripture in the Book of Isaiah. So I want to start off. This is kind of a series of studies in Isaiah that I'm doing. One was My Father's Rest. It was a couple of scriptures in chapter 61 and this one. And so I start off that vigilance is required. We were given a commandment, and it says, from Jesus Christ, we find in the Book of Mormon, He says, "Yea, I commandment I give unto you that you search these things diligently, for great are the words of Isaiah." And it's important for us in the day that we live in, these words of Isaiah, because there's a lot of good things in there for us. And like we talked about earlier this morning, dealing with faith, it's the evidence of things, the evidence of things not seen. Well, we actually have evidence of things that we're able to see. And these are the different events that are occurring as we had opportunity to live in these last days. The next thing is the voice of warning. Therefore, give heed to my words, the words of Christ, and then look for the signs. Search the prophets. And you can find that in Nephi, and search the scriptures. Those three things, being vigilant in the last days, the voice of warning, heeding those things that we find in the scriptures that the Lord warns us, and then look for the signs so you know where you're at in time, in the dispensation of time. Oops, well, that's cute. Let's hit the right button. Okay, I'm going to get a little bit of history of where I'm going to go with this. We have here, we find after the days of Solomon, that was kind of the pinnacle of what took place when after David had secured the lands, and then Solomon, he was able to build the temple. But we find that Solomon, he turned his back on God. He followed false gods. He listened to the gods of his wives, and his heart was taken away, and And so the Lord sent a prophet out and said, and spoke these words, "Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light away, alway before me in Jerusalem." So we find that Israel was split in two. You have you had the northern kingdom, which was the 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And it's just a little pictorial so you can understand that. But that was right after the days of Solomon and his sons, and the kingdom was split. And so then we continue on. We have the background of Prophet Isaiah, because it's really important here. We find the Prophet Isaiah, Yashar Yahu, is Yahweh is salvation, the son of Amos, and he was a prominent citizen in Jerusalem. He was born during the reign of Uzziah the king. He was called in his ministry around 740 BC, and then he in 729 Hezekiah became king of Judah, and then we find the fall in 722, the fall of Israel to Assyria. That would have been that upper kingdom that we saw there. That was what was Israel was. And then we find in 681, the traditions say he was sawn in two by King Manasseh. That was Isaiah's life. We find around 722, I'm not going to be able to say this very well, but Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, took Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, during the reign of Hosea. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. So we get back into the period of time when Isaiah was a prophet. It says, after the fall of Israel, the northern kingdom, Isaiah became chief advisor to Hezekiah. And with that, a renewed emphasis was placed within the kingdom to rebuild and cleanse the temple in an effort to return to the Mosaic Law as a national ethic. So Isaiah was kind of a right-hand man to Hezekiah, because Hezekiah had a desire he saw the northern kingdom, it had been carried away, and that was fulfilling prophecy. And I believe that it had an effect in his heart. And he wanted to renew the Mosaic Law, and he knew that Isaiah was a prophet, and so he had him as a mentor, helping him in his life. It says, "For he clave to the Lord and departed not from the following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses." And that's what Hezekiah desired and endeavored to do. So what I'm going to, my study topic or topic scriptures today is going to be in Isaiah in the 11th chapter. And it's verses 10 through 12, and I'm going to take each one individually, because what I want to do is I want to walk you through each one of them and kind of break them down so they make sense, so that when we're done, that these three verses of Scripture are going to mean something to you. You're going to understand each part of it and how it applies, and some of it, when we get down to the 12th chapter, is going to bring us into our period of time. So verse 10, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." So we have four different things that we saw in there. We saw it spoke of a root of Jesse, it spoke of an ensign, it spoke about the Gentiles, the Gentiles going to seek after that ensign, and then when they do, they're going to find rest. So let's look at the root of Jesse, and that's one of the elements that we have here. This reference, along with verses 1 through 5 in that same chapter, you'll find is a prophecy concerning the coming of Christ and his lineage and his works. It talks about that in the first five verses of that chapter. His lineage you can find in Matthew and in Luke. You can follow it through. It goes Jesse. You can find Jesse, David, Solomon, Jacob, and then Joseph. Which was the father, and then Jesse, David, Nathan, and Heli, and then Mary. So you find both lineages, the father's lineage in Matthew and Luke, the mother's lineage of Christ in this life as people saw them. And then you find in Luke in the fourth chapter, verses 16 through 18 was his works, and that's all described there. So, in this root of Jesse, we have to go all the way back to Abraham. Okay, and it starts there. And we find there's three things that when we go into Abraham and in the blessings that God had blessed him, he said, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, we have some young people in here. What was it that Abraham did? Anybody can help me? Can your son help me on that? What did Abraham, when he obeyed the voice of the Lord in this thing, where he received this blessing, what took place? Do we remember? Do you know? Forgive me, I don't know your name. I forgot. All right, the question is, we find the Lord right here has blessed Abraham, okay? He says, I will bless thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham did something very special, and he was blessed of God because of it. Do you know what that was? You remember? I don't want to put you on the spot. If you don't, that's fine. Is there someone here that does? What did he do? He took his only son, right? Go. What was it? Excuse me? You bet. It was Isaac, wasn't it? His only son. And when he followed that through, the Lord said this promise to him, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And it was a similitude of the thing that God was going to do for us, to give his son for a sacrifice for us. And it was very special. And so Abraham received this blessing. No other one is that we could read in the scriptures received a blessing like this. And so that was the beginning of the root of Jesse. So we're going to go on. We have Isaac that we find in Genesis in the 26th chapter, and then we find in Jacob the 28th chapter that they received the same blessing. It was passed from Abraham to Isaac and Isaac to Jacob. And you can read the same thing in those verses of Scripture. So then we come to a period of time in Jacob's life when the Lord talks to him. He wrestles with him and he is given a blessing when he's at this particular time, I think he was laying down and had a vision. It says, and God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. You can find that in Genesis 35. And then it says, be fruitful and multiply, and a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee I will give. And so, and his name so was changed by God to Israel, or God prevails. And we find here that blessing that Abraham was given, it was passed down to him. And then, and it's in particular when he says, be fruitful and multiply, we know he had 12 sons. And so that's how we know him as the 12 sons of Israel, through that blessing which God gave him. One of those sons was Judah. And so I'm going to take that lineage and see that. And that's kind of what I was doing here. You know, I have those three scriptures. I have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then I have a line across here, and we see the lineage of Judah coming down here. And over here I'm going to have another one. It's Levi, and then another one over here in Joseph. And they come together down here. God works with them. But right now we're going to use Judah. Judah, in there we find Judah's blessing. You can find it in Genesis in the 49th chapter. It says, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? I'm going to break this down a little bit here. When Judah is a lion's whelp, we find in the book of Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, speaking of Christ, the root of Jesse. So you find that through this blessing to Judah, this lion's whelp was speaking of Christ. Okay? It's important to see that. Then Judah's blessing continues on. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And this is in Genesis again, the 49th chapter. And you can find that the word Shiloh is actually, it's made up of three different components. And you can see it there, S-H-L and O-H. Him to whom it belongs. And it, that word it, is that scepter. Okay, so when it's talking about that, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. That's important to remember. And so we find in the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. That's in the book of Revelation, the fifth chapter. It's speaking of Jesus Christ. So you see how those things are tying back into that 10th verse of Isaiah. So let's look at another element on there, an ensign. This in particular, it's the Hebrew word. I have it here. Where we're going with this, it's a standard. And I put in parentheses approved model. It is the standard or approved model that we're looking for. That in which God is going to provide for us to seek after. And I have John in the 10th chapter here. My sheep hear my voice. This is the words of Christ. And I know them, and they follow me. And that's that ensign that was speaking of. It is pointing Christ in Christ's own words. He's telling them to follow me. And he was the ensign. And the words that he would speak would be the words of his Father, if you remember that. And so, and we go to the other element, element three. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and blessed are the Gentiles because of their belief in me. And in the Holy Ghost, which witnesseth unto me, unto them of me and of the Father. And you remember in the Book of Mormon, it says, there will never be a time when I will show myself unto the Gentiles. It wasn't part of the plan of God. But they will know me by my Spirit. And that's what this, the Holy Ghost. And so, as it was spoken in that verse of Scripture, Isaiah, in the 11th chapter and the 10th verse, To it shall the Gentiles seek, and that's Jesus Christ, and it'd be because of their belief. And then the last element, they will find rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So that whole 10th verse of the 11th chapter was speaking of the event of the root of Jesse from the beginning, that came from Abraham, that blessing that came through them and came right down to Jesus Christ. And then the belief of the following of the Gentiles. Now we go to verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the isles of the sea. That's our next verse we're going to look at. When was the first time? Do we have any idea when was the first time that they were recovered? Does anybody remember that? The first time that Israel was recovered? Let's look and see. It began with the promise from God to Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country into a land that I will shew thee. And this was when he was in the land of Ur. His homeland was over there by Iraq. Unto thy seed have I given this land. And I want you to pay attention to this. We're going to show a map. From the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. That was the promise that God gave to Abraham when he was in the land of Ur. And he was told to get out of there. I'm going to take you to the land that I'm going to give you. And he did. He came out of that area and he came on across above the Euphrates on down into the land that we know as in Jerusalem. But what I want you to remember, from the river Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. I went to try to get some maps, and this is probably about the best one. This top one here that you can see is the Euphrates River, and so really it's basically from the furthest point north to the furthest point south is what the Lord was saying. The River of Egypt, there's two thoughts on this, okay? Some feel it as part of the Nile, which would be here, that this would be part of Israel, and then some, there is there's a small river that comes off here and comes off and comes down over into this area, kind of cuts down at an angle here, which is called the River of Egypt. So I'm not going to debate that right now because there's a whole lot of discussion on either one, okay? But all I do know is that there's a lot of, if it's from here to here or it's from here to here, Israel's got a lot of land to take that they don't have right now in today's world. You can see that we know that it came over on this side of Jordan, on this side of the Jordan, so you find here all Jordan and Syria. Clear on up here, there's a lot of land that the enemies of Israel is occupying that God will give them back. It's their land of promise, and they will have that back, and it will be to the destruction of their enemies. Abraham's vision, and we find this in Genesis in the 15th chapter. Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years. That nation will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. What is that talking about? Does anybody remember that? Have an idea? Yeah. We're going to talk about that. We're going to follow that through because it has to do with the first time that the Lord had redeemed Israel. Really, it starts with Joseph's blessing. The blessing of the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph that was separated from his brethren, and his glory is like the firstling. And all this is talking about is the order in which in those days, the firstborn was, in this particular case, was Reuben, the sons of Israel. We find that through, when you read through Genesis in the 49th chapter, that was removed from Reuben because of sin, but that we find that the blessing fell upon Joseph as being the firstborn. Then you can go on in Chronicles too, where you find that he did receive the blessing of the firstborn, and this is what it's speaking of here, that it would fall on the head of Joseph. And it's really important because he plays a huge role in Israel that is going to unfold in the last days. His glory is like the firstling, or the first that is born of that particular bullock. Joseph's separation here in Genesis in 37th chapter, remember? The little story, the young ones, when they were able to read about Joseph being separated, it says they drew and lifted up. That was his brothers. They drew. They were concerned about leaving him in the hole that they threw him in because they didn't want to kill him. And I mean, they were talking about killing him, and so they ended up just throwing him into a pit. And it says they drew and lifted him. And then these people that come by, they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. They, being the brothers, lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then in Genesis, then we find in Acts and the patriarchs. And that, if you ever wanted to kind of follow the story, and when Stephen was speaking to those of Israel, he lays it out pretty clear, and you find it in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter. And the patriarchs moved with envy. It was envy. It was envy that they had done this to their youngest brother at the time, other than Benjamin being the youngest, but it was through envy that they sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Joseph prevails. Remember, Joseph, what caused the envy in the first place was Joseph had dreams, and he saw in his dreams that his family would bow down to him in obedience to him. And that was, you know, him being one of the last ones to be born of there, that they felt it was out of place and they envied him. So that's when they got rid of him. And then we find that when he was sold into Egypt, it says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shewed thee all this, There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And there were several dreams that brought him to this point. And he went through a lot of trials at that time. If you remember, there's lots of things. I don't want to have to cover them right now. But through all his trials, he kept his faith. That's the important part. And he says, thou shalt be over my house. And this is what Pharaoh says. And according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thee. So you find that the Lord took Joseph and placed him over a great kingdom. And he had the same authority as Pharaoh. Unless Pharaoh was sitting on the throne himself. Pharaoh, at that particular time, what was their religion? Who was he? He was God to the Egyptians over life and death. Whatever he would say, a person would live or die. He was considered God. Years of famine. Remember, that was part of his dream, Joseph's dream. Or not Joseph's dream, but the dream that Pharaoh had, and Joseph interpreted. And 7 years of dearth began to come according to as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, what did he say? Go to Joseph. You don't come to me, go to Joseph. And do what he saith you to do. We find that according to Joseph's dream earlier, prior to him being sold into Egypt, we find that it comes to fruition. That dream, it was prophetic, and this was the coming forth of that prophecy. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them. And these are the dreams you can find in the 37th chapter of Genesis. All things pointing to Joseph and what he was going to be doing. So we find that through this, all this, Joseph preserves Israel. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land. So why am I going through all this? It's very important to understand the history and how we got to where we got, because we find that they're going to be there for a while. We find that Israel is afflicted for 400 years. They live in the land of Egypt. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob at the time of the famine, and when Israel came out and came into Egypt, there was only 70 souls. Now, if you go over in Acts, it says 75, and that includes some people that they weren't including here at the time. But anyhow, it wasn't too many people of the house of Israel at that time. But we find when they leave, there was over 600,000 men that they said that left Egypt. For Joseph was in Egypt already. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, or being slaves. So Israel was basically became slaves, and they lived in there. They lived there for 400 years, actually 430 years when they finally came out. So we had that lineage we showed that was coming down through Joseph and what was happening there, and then we saw Judah, and now we're going to look at Levi, because it's going to be through the house of Levi that the first time that they're going to be redeemed is going to come from the house of Levi. Levi's blessing you can find in Genesis in the 49th chapter. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. And I will divide them in Jacob, and no inheritance in their land, and neither any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. So we find that the Levites didn't receive a portion of the land or of an inheritance. They were to be divided up throughout the tribes of Israel because of this thing that they had done. And it was, they were avenging their sister at the time. And they took the people that offended her and cut them up and spread them throughout the area, parts and pieces of them throughout, and brought a lot of attention to Israel at the time. So we find that this is what the Lord has placed the burden of Levi was to be to have, and that would be that their part would be that it would be they would have to serve Israel and serve their God. So we find that Moses was a Levite, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. And the child grew, and she brought him up unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. So that's where Moses got his name. He was adopted into Pharaoh's family. So we find that as Joseph was close to Pharaoh at the time that they came in, now we find Moses is going to be close to Pharaoh when it's going to be the time in which God is going to take them out of Egypt. God speaks to Israel. Here we find through Moses says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will bring you in unto the land I did swear to give it to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. Now, this is the reason I'm going through all this is a type, because we're going to see the same kind of type in that second deliverance where the children of Israel was under a bondage, so to speak, and separated from the land of their inheritance and is going to be brought back. Israel was covered the first time. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And just as the prophecy said that it was going to happen, was that when they left, they took a lot of the goods and things that the Egyptians said, here, take it and get out of our land. And so they went with those things, the spoils of Egypt, and went into the wilderness towards the promised land. I want us to look at the words of Zenos, as it talks about that day. And in that day that he shall set his hand again the second time to recover his people is the day, yea, even the last time, that the servants of the Lord shall go forth in his power to nourish and prune his vineyard, and after that the end soon come. And how blessed are they who have labored diligently in his vineyard, and how cursed are they who shall be cast out into their own place. These words of Zenos, this prophecy, is speaking of that second time that God is going to recover Israel. And it's talking about people like Brother Mike and Brandon and different ones who have called into the ministry, our Brother Dwayne, all the ministry that is working in these last days to recover his people. This is speaking to us in our day. Okay? Verse 12. So it pretty well covers what was in 11. In that second time, he's going to reclaim him. He shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Okay, so in verse 10, you remember he said he was going to set up an ensign. And that came through the root of Jesse, right? Okay, so now he's talking about another ensign. So is that the same ensign? Or is there going to be something more to it than what was in verse 10? I'm going to try and show you that there's a little bit more so that it puts together the dots, so to speak. The Book of Mormon, another witness of Christ. Wherefore he will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder among the children of man. Wherefore he shall bring forth his words unto them which word shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given them for the purpose of convincing them of the true Messiah who was rejected by them. So remember, through the root of Jesse, there was an ensign that was provided, and it came through, and then it said, actually the Gentiles is going to seek it. We find Israel rejected that ensign, didn't they? So now we find that the Lord speaks of he's going to do a marvelous work and a wonder, and he's going to bring forth these words, which words are going to be judging them in the last days. And those words are going to help to convince them of the true Messiah. And that's the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. That's where we start to see the two points come together, where we have the record of the Jew and the words of Christ in the Bible. And now he's saying there's going to be more in Isaiah, that other ensign, there's going to be more to it. And I'm going to kind of tie this together a little bit more. The words of Christ before their eyes. In Ezekiel, in the 37th chapter, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, that they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes." Do you see where in the words of the Book of Mormon that we read earlier, that he shall bring forth his words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day? And that's these words, the words of Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ. "Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare his arm in the eyes of all the nations, and bringing about his covenants and his gospel unto those who are of the house of Israel." And this is so important for all of us to understand that connection, and how that verse 10, when it was talking about the Gentiles will seek, they'll seek after that ensign, and then it talks about the seed of Joseph. And then we see how this all comes together, where we have these two records. "And therefore, go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth." These covenants and his gospel, we know through the restoration of Jesus Christ and his bride here on earth in 1830. And that work, that marvelous work, God made bare his arm in all the world. Not all the world accepts it. But he showed what his plan was in the last days and how he was going to recover Israel for the second time. Searching out for the outcast of Israel. In the 12th chapter, there was the word searching. But the Lord liveth, I will bring them again into their land, and that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them, for every mountain and from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. And that could be found in Jeremiah. And I can't think of anything more that would describe the work that our brother Duane and the apostles have been doing, and the evangelists that have been going, and the different ones that have opportunity to travel in the fields. When you find that you're finding you're going to these places that no one would go. No one would go of the world. But the God has sent us. And what's more amazing is that when they hear the words of Christ, they rejoice. And they cling to the God who spoke them. And they accept them, and they know. And God moves upon them in a great way and gives them dreams and visions and shows his power in the last days of the poor and the downtrodden, those that are where no one will find them. And you know there's stages here. It says, "I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rock." It is relentless. God is going to find his children of Israel, and he's going to reclaim them. Gathering the outcast of Israel. "Thus saith the Lord God, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, And that's what he's doing in our day, whither they be gone. And we'll gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations anymore at all. And that's Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And that's the reason I went through all that other history and stuff trying to show you that they were a divided kingdom. And the promise is that that divided kingdom is going to be reunited. They're going to be one kingdom, and they're going to be under the kingship of Christ. That scepter, remember I pointed out that scepter? That's that scepter that was being spoken of in Isaiah in that, what is it, the 11th chapter, 11th verse of that 11th chapter? And, but they will not be two nations anymore. They will be one. And the words of Christ, in conclusion, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Going right back to the very beginning. And the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride. And it's important for you to understand, because that work is the means by which that's those hunters, that's those fishers that are going to find Israel. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Because that's what the bride of Christ offers in these last days. Is life. According to the words of Christ. This is just a kind of a condensed version of this, because there's a lot more that goes with that lineage of Joseph that brings these two things together that I didn't cover. But I think I covered it enough to show you that the Book of Mormon and how it plays in those prophecies that we find in the Book of Isaiah, and how the Bible comes together in our day to be used by the bride of Christ, because he said, I will judge them according to the words which I have spoken. And those are the words of Christ. I hope and pray that I have been of some help to you to understanding these three verses of Scripture and how they apply to us to this day and age. And I thank you for your attention.